everyone, Eric Krause here. We are currently on winter break, so Logan and I did not have time to record two podcasts, this one and next week's episode. So instead, you will be hearing our session 0 and 0.5. They currently don't have the stupid segments we have in our show and are featuring on our show right now because they were our first ones recorded, but they're still pretty good conversations, so we felt you should enjoy them. Anyway, onto the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Logan Myrie Project, the only gaming podcast hosted by yours truly. That's me, Logan Myrie. And Eric, listen here. I know, but listen. It's a bad name, but it's a good show. So that's all that matters, you know?
Oh, and, I thought you were just going to skip me and not even give me an intro.
No, you're getting an intro. Just wait. Okay. I just wanted to point out, we know it's a bad name.
It's a working title.
It's a working title. We'll get to it. But it's a good show. It's all that matters.
Yep.
I'm joined by my semi-esteemed co-host and sound engineer, Eric Krause.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Again, not a sound engineer.
Well, you're running the sound, so what does that make you?
I don't know. The sound person, The person that does the sound for this podcast, definitely not a sound engineer.
Doer of sound, Eric Krause.
Yeah, I like that better.
Eric, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Bit tired.
Yeah, me as well.
Woke up later than I wanted to. Definitely getting a late start on the day.
Yeah, that affected this. We were going to record, and then I was ready. I was in here. I was preparing everything, and then I said, are you ready to record the podcast today? And you said, oh, I just woke up. My alarm didn't go off.
So here's the thing. I wake up naturally at 10 o'clock every day. So, like, I don't even need to use alarm. I have a backup one.
That's what people say,
yeah. Yeah, I have a backup one because if I don't wake up at 10, then I need it to go off. Mm-hmm. So we did it at 10. That's before I get up. So I set an alarm. Alarm, I think I might have done PM instead of AM or something went wrong is what I'm trying to say.
Sometimes.
And yeah, so I woke up at like 10:15. I'm like, oh shit, we need to do this.
All right. Well, you know, Eric, I'm fucking excited for this podcast.
Yeah, me too.
This is going to be probably my favorite episode we're ever going to do at some point. I mean, maybe at some point that'll be a different one, but this is only the second one. And I can tell you that I'm going to enjoy this one more than the Destiny one. Because I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite games ever, I think.
It's a good game.
Oh, yeah. But before we get to that, Logan's hot take corner. And I just want to clarify something about this little podcast within a podcast. Is that it's not usually going to be my hot takes. It's going to be the guest's hot takes. But today I am the guest. And last podcast, you didn't want to do it.
Yeah, so I don't have hot takes. That's why you did it last time.
So these two episodes are going to be my hot takes. And once in a while, I'll probably chime in. But here's my hot take for the day.
Always going to chime in. Hot takes are usually shitty. That's why they're hot takes.
Oh, so. The point is that they're shitty. You know what I mean? I know that they're shitty. But listen here. Cold pizza is the best way to eat pizza.
No.
It is.
Now, this is just definitively wrong. Cold pizza, not that great.
No, it's
way
really
overhyped.
Good.
It's hot pizza is way better than cold pizza will ever be.
Here's how much I like cold pizza. If I had the patience and I wasn't fat, I would make an entire pizza and refrigerate it.
No.
Just to eat it.
No,
just
you
to
wouldn't.
Eat it cold. I would. But
okay.
I mean,
no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't ever do that. That'd be such a waste of pizza.
No, what do you mean? I'm still going to eat it.
Yeah,
it's not
but
a waste of pizza.
It's a huge waste. You could have eaten it hot with the like really good melty cheese. You might as well just take a piece of cheese, a piece of pepperoni, and some sauce and put like a stale piece of bread there and eat that.
But have you ever had the pizza Lunchables? That's basically what that
those
is.
Those are trash.
And they fucking bop, dude. They're so good.
No.
I'll pop off to one of those.
No.
No, they're really good. Here's how
Lunchables,
it goes, though.
Awful. Lunchables,
that's a whole
nother
thing,
good.
Eric. You said you don't have hot takes.
I guess I do. You bring about me.
Yeah, that is a hot take. Because Lunchables are fucking good.
No, Lunchables, worst thing.
This is even worse. This is an opinion that I hold. Is that even reheated pizza, like, you know, you make the pizza cold, you heat that shit back up in the microwave, that's still better. There's something about it that's still better than
eating. Then it's really unevenly heated. And
you pick it
up, the crust is now all just mush from the sauce and the microwave vibrating, the water molecules in the bread or whatever fuck microwaves do. And
No one knows what a microwave
does. No one knows. Not even the people that built it. But then you pick it up and the cheese just drips off and it's very greasy.
Well, no, you're heating it up too much. You want it like room temperature.
Yeah, again, I don't like cold pizza. I don't want to take a bite of my pizza and have it feel like I just took it out of the refrigerator.
You know, I don't think we're going to get anywhere with this one, but I stand firm on this. I'll never do it, but I really would heat up a pizza to put it in the refrigerator. I'll never do it because I'm fat and I want that pizza right away. Because
it's better when it's hot.
I don't know. That's just not true. All right, but listen, the game of the day, the reason we're
after
all here.
After we've left people in suspense for so long, we're talking about cold pizza.
The game is God of War, and not God of War 1 on whatever system that came out on, the PS2. The PS2. God of War PS4, the one that came out this year.
Yes.
This might be my favorite game of all time.
Not my favorite game of all time, but a very good game. All
right, yeah, but listen here, I forgot something. I'm going to describe this game in 6 words, because that is how it goes on this podcast. And those 6 words are bearded dad and non-bearded boy bonding.
Bearded dad, non-bearded boy. Okay, checks out. 6 words.
Yep, 6 words. And that I think that's a pretty apt description of what this game is. It's really just about a dad and his son, and they're going, and he's got a beard. Not the dad, not the son.
Yeah, Kratos.
Kratos, yes, has. We'll get there. They're just bonding. They're just killing some stuff. They're doing a lot of things. They're killing a lot of things, and
in the most brutal ways possible.
Yep, and that's really good father-son bonding.
Yeah. What is murder? Great way to father-son bond.
So before we get into why I love this game so much, which I do.
Because you're a father and have a beard.
Yep,
and have
because I have
son.
A beard. I have a child, which I that's
you
not
know,
true.
That
I don't have a
child.
Kid. I nor do I particularly want one at this moment in time. As a 20-year-old adult. I don't know. People be doing that sometimes.
People be doing that. I mean, if you want to do that, do your thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a thing that people do. Not me. Yeah,
I really don't want kids.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about this game.
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, things you probably know. God of War is the 8th/9th entry in the God of War series. And the reason I say that is because it depends on if you count the text adventure game that they released before the game. The Facebook one, did you play it?
I did not.
It was, I mean, I think it counts. Because listen, it was an experience. I got like 6 pieces of concept art from it, and it was fun. I'd never done a text adventure game. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Have you ever done one? No. It's very weird.
Sounds boring as shit.
No, it's like texting, but they send you the stuff.
Oh, so it's like Emily is Away.
Yeah,
but
I haven't played that.
God of War.
Yeah, wait, so is that, do you literally text that, or is it prompts?
Oh, I think that might be prompts.
Yeah, because in this one, you literally text, like, shoot bow.
Oh. Then, no, I haven't played text.
Yeah, like, shoot bow at Draugr or whatever, and it'll do it. It's very interesting. It's not very long. It's like, I think I'd played it in, like, 20 minutes. But you know what? I think that we can count that as a tie-in. So this is then the 8th.
I would say the 8th, yeah.
This is the 8th entry in the God of War series.
Yeah, because that's a tie-in and not a full game itself.
Yeah. I just put that in there because I don't know if it's still available, but you should play it. It's very interesting.
Well, because if it was a full game, I probably would have heard of it.
Well, it's not a full game, obviously.
Exactly.
But like,
so it's eight games in the series.
Yeah, all right, 8 games in the series. It was developed as a PlayStation 4 exclusive by Sony's first-party studio, Sony Santa Monica, who is also responsible for all of the mainline God of War games. And it was helmed by creative director Corey Barlog, also the creative director for God of War 2. I mentioned that Corey Barlog because he's a cool dude and he's got a good Twitter, and you should follow him. I don't know if you do already.
Yeah, he really kind of blew up after God of War, and he really started this whole trend of game directors going on like famous people podcast to talk about the game.
Yeah, I guess he did a lot of spoiler casts and stuff, but like, I mean, he's not the first creative director to be famous.
No, he's not the first creative director to be famous. I'm saying he started this trend of going on and doing these spoiler casts.
Yeah, and I guess we've kind of seen that with Spider-Man as well. Which
yeah,
is
with
like you've
Brian
seen kind of,
Intihar.
I think that this is going to be a thing you're going to see a lot more.
Yeah.
Do you think we could get Corey on this show?
Anything's possible.
I think we should try.
I don't think it's very possible to get Corey Barlog all the way to rural Wisconsin.
I think we should try.
I mean, I'm down for it.
Yeah.
He seems like a cool dude.
Corey and I both wear clear-framed glasses. Do you think that's
enough?
So do I. Yeah. Oh, so this is what I'm saying. This would be a power. This would be a, like, because what game do you think Corey would talk about?
I don't know.
They can't. Well, God of War is already taken, so
he
can't do it.
Can't talk about God of War.
No, he can't do it.
Also, I don't think he would want to talk
I'm more of an authority on God of War than he is.
Okay.
Anyways, so I digress. Corey Barlog, cool dude. The reason I bring it up is because this is kind of an interesting tidbit, is that Corey Barlog, had a son around the time that the game started being developed. And so I think it's pretty clear that influenced the development of the game, as in the game is about a dad and a son. And he's kind of talked about that. Mainly between the distance between Kratos and Atreus, the two main characters in the game. and how he kind of felt that with his son, who I do not know the name of.
Yeah.
Another fun little tidbit is that the game almost took place. It takes place in Norse mythology. It almost took place in Egyptian mythology. Mm-hmm. And Sony Santa Monica released a concept art depicting what that might have looked like. And it looked cool, but listen here. I'm glad they didn't. I'm really glad they didn't. Because
well, even in the final version of the game, there are references mm-hmm. to yeah. the Egyptian.
Yeah, they reference that this like Egyptian mythology is canon within this world.
Yeah.
But I fucking love Norse mythology with a passion, and so I'm glad it's not.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they did it. But I'm just going to kind of, so the way this is going to work, I think, is that, well, you're technically helming the show, so you can bank this work however you want.
Well, are you done with your trivia, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, but I just wanted to clarify that I kind of want to do some non-spoilery stuff first, talk about that kind of stuff, and then we can get into the shit. Is that work for you?
I mean, we could do that.
Okay. And then it's so whenever we're going to do it, we make sure we make that clear for the listeners.
Well, I don't know. This show is kind of a whole spoiler cast, no matter what game
yeah,
we're talking about.
That's true. Okay, yeah. So listen here. Listen, if you haven't played God of War, pause this. Pause it. Buy the game. Buy a PS4 if you don't have it. It's worth it. Play the game. Play it. Just play it straight. 25 hours through. Just don't go to sleep. Come back. Listen to the rest of the podcast, right?
Yeah. There you go.
That's what we're doing. So all right. I'm gonna pass the
okay. So you're done with the trivia.
Yeah, but I also have a synopsis of the game if you'd like to hear that.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if we need it.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I want to say, because what if we have listeners who have not played the game? We're going to.
You should have stopped. God bought a PS4, bought God of War, played the game.
But do you want me to give a quick overview, real quick?
Yeah, but first let's get back to the trivia, because okay. you missed the most important part of the trivia,
which is what
is that they didn't have a name for Atreus
yeah.
the whole time.
Okay, yeah,
which is why
true.
He's just called Boy the whole game.
You're right. I did forget about that.
Yeah,
yeah, because Corey's talked about that on multiple podcasts.
Yeah, on multiple spoiler casts and whatever, and I find it hilarious.
Yeah, but it also is just it's really good because yeah. there was a lot of memeing about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's it's good.
Yeah,
stuff.
It worked out really well in their favor. Got mm-hmm. them a lot of because you fucking pick up. An internet meme, it's gonna yeah. like take off.
Also, it really fit the character where that like he it didn't feel like he was a son. It felt like he was just kind of ordering him around. He felt more like a general type deal where he
yeah.
was, like it felt like a general soldier type deal where mm-hmm. he's just kind of telling him what to do and he just kept calling him boy.
Yeah,
boy. that was good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, synopsis.
The game stars Kratos, who was. I don't really know how to explain this. Was the Greek god of war. Is the Greek
he
god of war.
He is still the Greek god of war.
But Greece doesn't exist anymore.
The Greek pantheon is destroyed
yeah.
by Kratos.
All right, so he became the god of war after he just fucking murdered the former god of war, Ares, in the original game.
Yeah, because
yes.
Ares tricked him into murdering his family.
Yeah, so this guy did have a family before. Dunzo,
yes.
Merc.
He had a wife and daughter.
Yep, a wife and daughter. So he spent the other 7 games just fucking killing the entire Greek pantheon and basically just decimating everything in his path.
Yep.
Angry guy, very much kind of different than the Kratos in this game.
Yep.
This game opens and now he's somewhere. We can't say Norway, right? Like he's somewhere in
it's
wherever
in
Norse mythology
somewhere,
is.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Midgard.
Yeah. It's in Midgard. Yeah.
Yeah. But Midgard's just Earth.
Yeah, but we don't know where on Earth.
So. Anyways, he's in Norse mythology. So he has a son now whose name is Atreus. At the opening of the game, Kratos' wife, also Atreus' mom, has just passed away, and the two open the game by burning her in a Viking kind of traditional funeral.
Yeah, on a pyre.
Yep, on a pyre. They collect her ashes, and they get ready to make the journey to bring her to the highest peak.
What was the mom's name again?
Faye.
Okay. Freya's the other
one. Yep, Faye, yep. And then Freya. We'll get to that.
Yep.
And then before she died, her kind of final request is that they bring her ashes to the highest mountain in existence.
Yep.
And then that's kind of the opening for the game. And that's the, I thought we were going to do some kind of non-spoilery stuff, so that's why I was like, this is the non-spoilery open for the game.
Okay.
But yeah, so I'm throwing it to you. You're hosting. What do you want to know?
Okay,
what do you want to know about?
First, we're going to go right into spoilers. So you've been warned. It's no longer our problem. So, cool story stuff. North massage is great. What I want to know first is what the fuck do you think about that first boss fight with Boulder?
I have much to say about this boss fight.
Yeah.
Let me just say that I was incredibly hyped for this game. I don't think I've ever been so hyped for a game in my entire life. So I was eating up everything that people were releasing,
mm-hmm.
Even though I was like, I don't want to know anything about this game.
Yeah, so did you get anything spoiled?
No, but other than the fact that I saw a tweet from one Greg Miller of Kinda Funny,
mm-hmm.
that the first boss fight in the game was the best thing that he's ever. He said something along the lines of.
He said it was the best superhero fight he's ever played in the game.
And so I was like, I was expecting Kratos to be punching something very big.
Yeah.
I was like, he's going to fucking.
That's also what I was expecting, is Kratos taking on something big. Because that's a trend in
other games. Yeah.
Is he's always fighting something really big.
Yeah. But it turns out, so you get this stranger, they call him,
mm-hmm.
who obviously, spoilers, turns out to be Baldur.
Yeah.
A very important character in Norse
son
mythology.
Son of Odin.
Yep, son of Odin.
Odin's son.
Yep, Odin's son. And fucking him and Baldur just go at it.
Yeah.
And it's the coolest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
It's so visceral, and you're just punching each other through trees. At some point, he fucking just destroys a mountain, like, pretty much. He just, like, doing all this stuff. They, like, split the earth.
Yeah.
And Baldur.
So, yeah. This fight, you literally split the earth punching the shit out of each other.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
It really is, I think, the coolest thing I've ever done in a video game.
And is it the first time you do the combat in the game, is that fight?
No. No, oh, no, okay. You have a whole thing.
Oh, yeah. So you go around the woods. You get a feel for combat.
Yep.
You kill whatever those minion things are.
Yep.
And then you show up.
I want to say you fight the troll, too, before you fight
Do you
Baldur.
Fight the troll?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Okay. So by this time, you're pretty into the combat. And Baldur just shows up. Yep. And what I love about this boss
Baldur,
fight.
Just to, yeah.
What?
Baldur? Just to, sorry. Just
what
to
I say?
Baldur.
Oh, sorry.
Well, same thing, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Baldur, stranger, whatever.
The stranger.
So. Yeah, and what I love about this boss fight is it spent, like, the first 2 hours teaching you the combat mechanics, and then the boss fight shows up, and it doesn't take him away. It's not a bunch of quick time events.
Nope.
It's you're still doing the combat.
Yeah, it's exactly the same control scheme.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, that is the first time Kratos goes into Spartan Rage
or
whatever, which is, you know, like, kind of another trope throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see him doing that. And it's just, it's so fucking cool. It was one of those things, too, where I didn't even feel like I needed the axe. I was just punching the shit out of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I was just, oh, man.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, you come back. We see Baldur a lot during the game. There's a couple other boss fights, but that's, nothing lives up to that.
I mean, whenever anybody ever talks about this game, you talk about that boss fight first,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Which is, I think, a great, because I've someone unnamed person that I will not name, because this is a blasphemous thing to say, said, I've heard that the rest of the game does not live up to the first boss fight. And I said, listen here, buddy. This is a great game. It's fantastic. The boss fight is the best thing in that game, I'd say. But it sets the tone for the... It's this explosive opening that kind of keeps you going through the rest of the game, I think.
I'd also, it's the best gameplay thing in the game.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
No, but I just feel like diminishing the rest of the game by saying I heard it doesn't live up to the first boss fight. I don't think that first boss fight sets the expectation of what you're going to be doing throughout that game. It's just like, it's the big bang opener. You know what I mean?
Well, it did kind of set an expectation, because after that fight, I'm like, God, I can't wait.
Oh,
if this is the first thing you're doing, I'm barely even leveled up. I can't wait to see what I do in the end, which it's a nod to the combat in that game. Once you do level up, it's super fun.
Oh, yeah. Another person asked me, like, should I play this game? I'm not really that into hack and slash. And I said, that's not what you do in this game. There's fucking skill involved in this shit. It's crazy.
There's tons of timing. You have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You have to hit your combos. Like,
you can pull off some nutty shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so back to the Baldur thing. Another thing I want to talk about is what you think of, like, the cinematography and how this game is laid up. There's zero cutscenes in this game.
So that was kind of the big, one of the big, like, I don't want to say marketing
or
pushes.
Not cutscenes, load screens.
Yeah, I don't want to call it a marketing push. Well, it was a marketing push, whatever. But it was a cool thing that they did during the game. They said there's not a single cut, a camera cut in this game.
Yeah.
There's not, we never ever cut to anything. And I said, how the fuck are they going to do that? Because obviously you assume that there's going to be some sort of, like, time lapse, something like that.
Yeah. There's obviously a few places where they cover up so the world can render.
Yeah.
There's, like, a lot of instances of, oh, you have to get through this crack. And, like, it's a slow kind of crawl.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
well,
that's
kind of a trope
world.
Now in games.
Yeah.
Where, like, I feel like after Tomb Raider did that, I feel like that was the first game I played where I'm like, oh, I'm going through this little tiny crack. But that's
yeah,
a
so the
now.
Game could load.
Yeah, so the game could render the rest of the world. But yeah, it's amazing what they do with the camera in that game, and like you notice it throughout. Like I was like, oh, it's just probably gonna be one of those things where I'm like, oh, whatever. But like, you know, even when they kind of take the camera from you and like they're whirling it around, you always just feel really close. You feel like in the action. It almost feels like a documentary at some points where there's kind of some shaky cam shit going on. It's freaking amazing. I can't believe, because and Corey Barlog had said that he originally pitched that for the Tomb Raider reboot.
Yeah.
And they said, you're a fucking idiot. They said, that's stupid. Why would we do that? Mm-hmm. And then he somehow convinced Sony Santa Monica and the people over at Sony to do it. And I'm really glad they did. Because, you know, that's kind of I had heard who's the guy who directed the new Kong movie?
The new Kong.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
Anyways, this
guy. He's a huge nerd.
Yeah, huge nerd, really loves video games. I saw a thing where him and Corey Barlog were talking, and he said it's kind of this trope in movies as well. I keep saying trope, but whatever. It's kind of this thing in movies where it's like, who can make the longest shot? Mm-hmm. And Corey Barlog fucking made a 30-hour shot. He made a 30-hour movie there's just no cuts. And so it's basically just one fuck you to everyone in Hollywood.
Yeah, honestly. It's why games are so good. Because you can do all this shit that's so awesome.
But yeah, the no-cut thing is amazing to me. I can't believe they pulled it off technically. There are, like you said, there are some places, like specifically in the Light Elf world, or the Elf, I can't remember what it's called, Alfheim? Is that what it's called? Alfheim?
Yeah,
Alfheim. In Alfheim, when there's kind of that scene where Kratos is walking through this, like, he goes into the light and he's walking through all this stuff, and then he comes back out, and like there's like, clearly some times past, and Atreus is surrounded by fucking dead elves and stuff.
Yeah.
That was like a time lapse, but still the camera doesn't. There's no cut.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you get some transitions that happen.
And there's screens for like when you need to go into like the shops and stuff, I guess. But
just zooms in.
You're
and
right.
Menu
you're
pops
right. No,
up.
But yeah. So I guess really there are zero cuts in this game. It's fantastic.
It's crazy. I can't believe it's an amazing feat that they pulled off technically, and it definitely paid off, I think.
Yeah, it's noticeable. That's why that's the only thing I was like, I don't think I'm going to, like, I was like, I think it's just going to be a thing that they pointed out. They're like, wow, look at this cool thing we did. It's just something for, like, technical nerds. But it's like, you notice it. It's so in your face.
Okay. So before we get into all the story stuff, there's one more gameplay aspect I want to talk about, and it's probably the most important gameplay aspect.
Okay. I know where you're going. I'm excited
and
to talk about it.
And it's throwing the axe.
Throwing the axe. The Leviathan axe is the best thing in video games ever.
It's
better than Mario jumping. It's better than, I'm trying to think of all the, it's better than shooting a shotgun in Doom. It's the best thing I've ever felt.
Yeah, it is one of the most satisfying things. It's just the combination of the feedback you get in the controller vibrating, the just excellent sound design that, like, wood hitting his hand, and just, like, the sound of it spinning when he throws it, it's, like, unbelievable.
There's, like, they had talked about all the audio that went into that where they, There's actual distance audio, so it's like the sound gets like more intense as it gets closer to Kratos, and like throwing that axe. I played this game for probably 50 hours, or you know, maybe past that, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And throwing it never once got old.
I had a literal like maybe 15 minutes where I was just throwing the axe out into the water or doing whatever with
it. One of my favorite things to do is when you would go on the what is the tree called, the tree of life or whatever.
I can't remember.
Anyways, when you're traveling in between worlds on this tree, Bifrost tree, or the Bifrost or whatever, and you're going on the Bifrost, and one of my favorite things to do was just throw the axe off and just watch it, like for as long as I would, and then just watch it come back.
Yeah,
and it was fantastic. Or like when you'd be up in the mountains, in Midgard, and just doing that, or just throwing it at random stuff, and there was always a hit detection, and I'm like, someone's job was just to go through and make sure that this fucking axe
make
could
sure
hit everything.
It had to be a requirement that they could not ship this game until that axe felt amazing to throw, and they fucking did it.
Yeah, I would say it's one of the most satisfying things I've ever done, like regarding input, like interacting with some sort of interface.
Yeah,
like it's better than tapping something on the iPhone. It's better. I just feel like it's one of the most satisfying like things in technology I've ever done, which is a weird thing to say, but it is. It's so good.
It's just so good,
and it's such a versatile weapon that like. It's so crazy. Like, I actually was like, at some point, I was like, I can't believe they're going to go through this whole game with just the axe. And that's something we can get to, because that was a big scene when you get the chains as well.
Yeah. When you get the Blades of Chaos, which is later down in the game, which is a huge reveal.
But here's the thing. I would have been perfectly content playing that whole game with the axe.
I would have probably been fine with it, but after a while, I'm like, I kind of want a different weapon or, like, something else to do with the axe. Because, obviously, throwing it's fucking great, and using it in the combat's great, but you have no, like, range with the axe other than throwing it.
Yeah.
And if you throw it, then you're down to using just your fists, and that gets complicated. But, yeah, the layers of combat are just insane, especially once you get the Blades of Chaos, because you can switch so easily. So you could be using the blades, twirling people, hitting people up in the air, switch the axe, throw it at someone far away, be punching someone, pull out the blades again, hit him a couple times, and then call back the axe. And it's like, what the hell?
It is actually kind of insane how when you get those blades, we can talk about the scene specifically because that was fucking nuts. But once you get them, it's kind of the game almost switches gears a little bit, and it does kind of turn into, I don't want to say like a hack and slash, but you get more of that like original God of War feel.
You get more of the God of War feel, yeah.
Which isn't something I thought that I needed, but I was like, oh yeah, this is
good. Did you play the other God of War games?
Yeah, so my kind of history with God of War was that I had the Vita collection, which was just the first two games, and so I beat
them. Did it have Ghost of Sparta too?
No, I don't think so. Which was weird, right?
Yeah. Well, those were PSP games, so they probably just didn't port them to Vita.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it was the collection that had the first two games.
Yeah.
And so I beat the first one, and then I got like halfway through the second one, but I didn't really play my Vita that much because I'm a
second one. Good ending.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I never got there.
I can't remember if the first one has a good ending or the second one. Third one, very good.
Very good ending. Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah. So yeah. And then the point was, then I got the remaster on PS4 for God of War 3, and God of War 3 was my favorite. It was really good. That shit was fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Very violent. Very like over the top. Kind of this crazy ass experience. And so I was like a God of War fan before, but I wasn't like, I don't know. I guess I wasn't like a fan of the series. I just played them. But this game, I was like, Norse mythology, I am in.
Yeah, so you kind of mentioned a little bit before about Norse mythology, and this game is your favorite game. Is it your favorite game because of the in-depth kind of use of Norse mythology?
I think that it's my favorite game for a lot of reasons. I think specifically because I think they made this game for me. Corey Barlog went, you know who would really like this game? Logan Myrie. Logan Myrie would love this game. Because, first of all, they made it this more like... kind of close in third person action game, which is like, that's my shit. That's what I love playing. Last of Us, all that good stuff. But those are like more shooters.
Yeah.
And so like the game, third person action adventure, close camera, I'm in. I'm into the game. I like these kind of cinematic experiences. But also, I love Norse mythology. My last name is Myrie. Myrie is this very kind of Norwegian Norse last name. So I've always kind of felt like I've always like identified with this kind of like Scandinavian mindset, whatever, Vikings, all that stuff. I always thought it was cool. And then Norse mythology, it turns out, as I've begun researching this in the past like 5 years or whatever, I'm really into it. It's the coolest thing to me, because in Norse mythology, people like didn't like the gods very much.
Yeah,
they were really skeptical. Actually, Thor was the only god that was really he was kind of highly regarded. He was like this aspirational hero. He's who you wanted to be. But people like Odin, people like Loki, they were like, people were like, if the commoners and you know the people saw them, they were like, what's going on? They got kind of skeptical, and the gods were all just kind of shitheads. And there was a lot of violence, there was a lot of like death. It's all about the end of literally the whole Norse mythology revolves around trying to stop the end of the world, pretty much.
Ragnarok.
So yeah, I'm like deeply into Norse mythology. For anyone who's looking to get into Norse mythology, I highly recommend author Neil Gaiman, really famous dude. He wrote American Gods, which is now a TV show. He also wrote Coraline, if you didn't know that. Weird-ass movie.
Good movie, though.
Yeah, but that was him. He wrote that, I believe, or at least... I know he was involved in the project. I think he wrote it specifically. And so he has a book called Norse Mythology that's written in this very like novel-esque style, and it's a really good overview of kind of everything. But obviously, there's some more in-depth stuff.
Yeah.
Norse mythology is cool, is my point. And so when I heard that they were going to Norse mythology, I was like, oh, man, I'm in.
Yeah. So, but the game, it just has, the setting is Norse mythology. And you get definitely hints of that in the world building and stuff. So what else makes this your favorite game? If it's your favorite game of all time, there has to be more elements. Obviously, probably the combat. We kind of talked about that.
It's a trifecta.
Okay, what's the third thing then?
The trifecta is story, because I think that this game has – it surprised me. I thought when I saw it, I was like, this is going to be this really somber thing about this dad. He loves his son. He's trying to protect his son. They get into all this shit in the son. I was like, Atreus is donezo. That kid's going to be fucking dead by the end of the game. You know what I mean? Because I everyone got the Last of Us vibes. I was like, this is going to be a sad game.
Yeah.
I was ready to cry some tears. And the story ended up being one of my favorites as well, because I was like, they're trying to make this character Kratos redeemable, even though he is a fucking shithead.
Yeah.
And he's known for this like overly violent, overly like in the old God of War games, he would just like fucking kill civilians.
Never stops screaming in the old games.
Yeah, he's just this angry fucking dickhead.
Yeah.
And they're like, Kratos is a person, and I was like, that's interesting. Let's see how that goes. And I just felt like it was so interesting that it was like you kind of get to see him and his son who were not close at all, have these like moments of like tenderness and stuff, and also you know, they talked a lot, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be Kratos just murder. You're gonna fight Odin, you're gonna fight Thor, you're gonna kill all these like Norse gods, which I was in for. But it ends up being such a small story. It's such a small scale story. It's literally about Kratos and his son trying to bring his wife and mother, and you know, Atreus's mother's ashes to the highest peak in the lands, and that's like the premise. And they end up getting just kind of caught up all in this shit, in all of this shit by accident.
Yeah.
And so it's such a small scale. A lot of people said it felt like a play, and so that's why I loved it as well. So the story, the combat, and the Norse mythology—that's the trifecta. I think that this hit on every point for me.
Did you identify with the story at all? Like, as we mentioned before, you don't have a child. So, like, did this bring back vibes with, like, you and your dad or anything?
I'd say so. My dad and I, we're cool. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. We've never been, like, super close. You know what I'm saying? We don't do, like, dad-son stuff all the time. So I was like, yeah, this is kind of interesting. I felt a connection there. Because, obviously, you're a son as well. Maybe you felt like there is something. There's kind of a weird stuff with dad-son relationships, I feel like, always.
Mm-hmm.
And just specifically, I was like, oh, this is cool. I like this. Obviously, my mom's not dead, where she's still much alive.
Mm-hmm.
But just, yeah, this kind of son and dad who maybe don't have so much in common, trying to, you know, relate to each other and trying to get through this shit together. I felt like, yeah, this is cool. I like it.
Okay. And one last thing, since we're getting close on time here, that I do want to talk about.
So much more to talk about, Eric. We're going overtime. I don't care.
We're going overtime? Okay, well, we're going to talk about this first, is the Kotaku article, It Sucks to Be a Mom in God of War by Jita Jackson.
Yeah, so I brought this up because I had read this when it came up, and this is, like I said, this is my favorite game. Mm-hmm. And this is a pretty, I wouldn't say harsh criticism, but this is a fair criticism. Well, not a fair, what, I don't know what you,
I think fair criticism.
Oh, no, it is incredibly fair, but I'm trying to frame it as like, this is painting this game in not so positive of light. But I brought it up because I had seen some other stuff about this game. It was getting mostly universal praise. And so when I saw this Kotaku, you know, big outlet, I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And I gave it a read, and I was like, wow, this is really an in-depth kind of literary criticism of this game. And the reason I brought it up is because I felt like it was really contentious.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of people in the comments being really mean, because that's how the internet works. And I just felt irked by it, because I was like, listen, she doesn't say this game is fucking blasphemous. She doesn't say this game shouldn't exist. She was not calling for Corey Barlog to be publicly hanged. Mm-hmm. She just said, hey, look at this. She gave the story new context, and she made me think about the game in a different way. And so, you know, we can talk about what she said specifically and go through those points and talk about maybe what you feel about them. But
we could sum it up real quick. Is that the article, as the title says, is It Sucks to Be a Mama. And there's two motherly figures in this game.
Freya and Faye.
Yeah. The Kratos' wife, Atreus' mom, and Baldur, the stranger's mom.
Yep, and Baldur's mom.
Yeah. Wife of Odin. Or ex-wife, I guess.
Yep.
And she talks about how they are just tragic characters.
Yep.
Or how the mom is this tragic character that is remembered as this perfect human being.
Yeah, she doesn't really have... Faye does not particularly have a personality in the game. She's kind of this remembered figure that's the perfect she kind of serves as like the opposite of Kratos. She's like the perfect mom. Her and Atreus had a deep bond.
It's basically to make Kratos look bad throughout the game, is like this parent that managed to just do everything perfect.
Yeah.
And
so Jita kind of touches on the fact that Faye serves as a plot device, kind of.
Yeah, because so Faye is son of Boulder, and Boulder hates her because Faye had a premonition or whatever was gonna die.
The way in Norse mythology it goes is actually I remember Freya is kind of a combination of a couple characters in Norse mythology, but the gist is Baldur's mom has this vision that Baldur's death will be the start of Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
And so she in Norse mythology she goes to everything in the land. She goes and asks all of the warriors that, you know, the swords can't hurt him. He can't be hurt by anything.
Mm-hmm.
But she forgets mistletoe. It's because she's like, mistletoe doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing is that Baldur in Norse mythology gets killed by his own brother because of Loki.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts the start of Ragnarok. Yeah. But in this game, Baldur's just really fucking pissed off that he can't feel anything, but he's still... like he still can't be killed by mistletoe, or he still can be killed by mistletoe.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole point is that she kind of serves as this self-sacrificing mother who has like sacrificed everything for her kid.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, like, is willing to sacrifice everything for her kid. She's going to let Baldur just fucking murder her.
Yeah.
And then Kratos steps in and saves Freya and kills Baldur.
Mm-hmm.
And she swears vengeance on Kratos. She says, "You're gonna regret this. You should have let him kill me." And I saw some public pushback against that as well. Walt Williams, the writer for Spec Ops: The Line, great game by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a potential another episode. He kind of pointed out that he was like, "Oh, this is the climax for God of War. Weird." And then people were like, "Why?" He's like, "There was like gaslighting involved." And I was like, "Oh, I'm curious to hear more about that," but I didn't because it was I don't know, I didn't see anything else about Twitter.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole point is that Freya is also seen as this like self-sacrificing mother, and that like that's the role of motherhood, is like suffering and pain and death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the last sentence in Jita's article here is, quote, "In God of War, however, moms either give up everything or they die, leaving nothing in their place but a perfect memory." And so, end quote. And so that's whole referencing is Faye is the perfect memory of
the perfect
mom.
Memory.
Yeah, and then Freya is just giving up everything to die for her son.
For her son, yes.
Which is what I thought in, which she kind of mentions in this article about Faye being this perfect parent.
Mm-hmm.
I thought is, because Faye's dead. You don't see the bad sides of a person when they're dead.
Yeah, don't
you only
speak ill of the dead
the,
is kind of the gist.
Yeah, you only see the good sides or want to remember the good mm-hmm. sides. When's the last time someone died? You're like, oh, they did this such shitty thing to me.
Mm.
Even if you didn't like the person, you don't remember that.
Yeah.
You remember the good
even,
things.
Even everyone else in the game, too, like the dwarves loved Faye.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, basically, who had heard of her was a big fan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think there's something to be said there. But this was kind of my point in bringing this up, is that this is like a piece of literary criticism,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. I think that's a fact.
It's criticizing the story of God of War.
Yeah, but in this kind of like, I don't know, literary sense, mm-hmm. Which I think is cool. And my whole point is that I think literary criticism has a place in games, and I'd like to see more of it. And I just got so frustrated because I'm like, people are so upset about this. They're like, why would you say this?
Well,
why would
everyone in that consumes video games are big babies.
Yeah, no, yes, big babies. And I was like, I don't know. I guess I felt that like, even if you don't agree, which is fine, that's like a thing in literary criticism. You're allowed to disagree. You write a response article or whatever.
Yeah.
And I guess my point bringing that up was that like, I still love this game. It's still one of my favorite games of all time. And I recognize that this criticism was fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I see this. I find this article incredibly fair.
Oh, yeah.
All her claims she makes up, she backs up.
Yeah, she backs up.
And it might be a huge blaring difference, but I'm a dude playing this game, and she's a woman, so she gets an entirely different perspective that I'll never have.
Yeah, so my whole point was, like, stop being big babies, just read and consume, and form your own opinion, and be nice, and don't be an asshole.
Yeah, another thing I also find is, in the article, she says, "I'm not a mom," in response to Freya wanting to sacrifice her son.
Yeah,
for
she
this.
Said, I don't identify with that. That's kind of odd.
Yeah, and she identified that she's not a mom, and that could be a possibility why she didn't identify.
And I also wanted to point out that this she was like, oh, I'm kind of worried that in the future Freya is going to be very flat. That everything that every time we meet Freya, it's going to be about Baldur's death.
Yeah,
and so she's going to be kind of defined by this. And then I saw a tweet from it might have been Corey Barlog, it might have been the woman who played Freya that said, just wait, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. So I wanted to point out that this, I'm cautiously optimistic to see. Maybe we'll see another article from Gita saying, hey, maybe it doesn't suck to be a mom in God of War, although it probably still does. Who knows?
Yeah. And off of that, as we wrap up here, as I drop
things.
I'm
just saying, I'm ready to keep going, Eric. I'm going to talk until you shut off
the mics. I was ready to keep going last time, so we're going to wrap it up around 40 minutes. Got a time schedule. All
right,
but the last thing I want to talk about is the end of the game reveals that Atreus is actually Loki.
Yeah.
So where do you think the second game's going to go with that?
Oh, man. There's so much to say. Mm-hmm. Because in Norse mythology, the Midgard serpent, you know, the big serpent, is Loki's is one of Loki's children. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, that's very weird and interesting, and I'm interested to see how that goes.
Isn't Thor normally his brother?
Brothers? Well, they're adopted brothers because Loki is never
Loki
actually.
Loki is a frost giant combined with...
Well, I don't know. I'm not. Whatever. I don't remember. I just remember that Loki is not exact. He's like not a blood son.
Yeah, not a blood son of Odin.
Yeah, that might be maybe mixing up like some of the Marvel stuff. But I don't particularly remember if that's touched on in the Neil Gaiman book that I read. It's very interesting because that kind of throws this big wrench into this whole like they exist in Norse mythology thing, because that makes Atreus much more of a key player in what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
In Ragnarok, Loki's fate is to suffer and be tortured until Ragnarok is over and he dies.
Yeah.
And so I did want to touch on a couple other things. Virtually every character in this game does exist in Norse mythology, which I thought was interesting too. Brock and Sindri are actual characters
Kratos,
in Norse mythology.
Except for Kratos.
Kratos is kind of the only outlier, and Freya is a combination of a couple that I don't remember. But I made a list of things that I love about this game, and I want to run through them quickly because I know you're going to cut me off, but I'm really into this.
Okay.
Things I like about God of War: the Leviathan axe, obviously. Mm. We talked about that. The dad-son relationship, love it. The story is small. We already talked about that. The first Baldur fight, Mimir. We haven't talked about Mimir at all.
That is
true.
And
so here's the thing: is this game consistently switches up the way that you play it?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, oh, it's this game about the dad and the son the whole time. Mimir comes in, he's with you the whole game. He's this third character, he's chiming in, he's saying funny stuff, he tells you stories in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, we also didn't talk about the boat.
The boat was cool because you'd go, sometimes I'd be swimming around, you know, you'd be boating around, and he'd be telling a story, and you'd get to where you go, and then you just circle around because you want to hear the rest of it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this is good. I learned a lot about Norse mythology specifically from this game, which I thought was cool. It's an educational tool. We should have them play them in elementary school.
Yeah, well, they're doing that shit with Assassin's Creed, so.
Are they?
Yeah, I thought they, because Assassin's Creed, the Egypt one, Origins, they had a historical mode or something, so it shuts off all combat.
I think you just go explore.
Yeah, it becomes a walking sim, and you just explore, because they make it pretty much almost one-to-one scale in those games of those places.
Yeah.
And so, you just walk around, get the history and stuff.
Okay, I'm into that.
I don't know
that's
if God
cool.
of War could
God
do that.
God of War doesn't really have that mode, we probably shouldn't have elementary schoolers play it, because
it's
hard. They would suck at it.
It's hard,
Yeah, they probably shouldn't see that stuff, but who knows?
Fucking Kratos ripping a dog in half.
Yeah. Oh, man, there was some fucked up shit in there. But we didn't talk about any of the other boss fights. So Magni and Modi are one of them, and the dragon's another. And those are kind of, except for the two Baldur fights, those are kind of the big four.
Mm.
The Magni and Modi one I thought was dope, because that's kind of, it shows that like Atreus goes with rage or whatever, and he's like sick because he's like, he doesn't realize he's God. There's kind of this weird sickness thing going on. And the dragon fight's dope because it's huge and it's that kind of God of War.
Yeah, that's probably the most God of War-esque fight, I'd say, that's in the game, is because this dragon is massive, and it's kind of quick-timey, but not really, because, I mean, the combat's kind of quick-timey.
Yeah.
And, so you get this epic thing, you're dodging its lightning blasts, it's swooping in, you're clawing out its face, like, it's a great fight.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to touch on quickly is the Valkyries, because the Valkyries are these optional boss fights that are fucking... very hard.
They're very hard.
They're
and
really,
they only
really
get harder
they
the
only
more
get
you
harder
do.
And so I remember running into my first Valkyrie, and I just got just murked.
Yeah.
Just destroyed,
so
just
I probably murdered. Ran into a Valkyrie like in the beginning half of the game
because I didn't realize that was a side thing that maybe I shouldn't do yet.
Yeah. And you just go down there and you get bodied. Yeah. Like they ruin
you.
Yeah,
they ruin your life. I remember I was playing. I was like at home in like back in my hometown. I was just like playing in our living room. I don't remember why I'd like hooked up all my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just banging my head against the wall, like trying to defeat these things.
Yeah.
And it was so frustrating. And I did. I beat them all. And then you fight. There's a Queen Valkyrie.
Yeah.
And you have to fight her.
Mm.
And I haven't. I had promised myself I was gonna platinum this game. And I still will. I promise.
You're not gonna.
I couldn't do it. I tried probably 25 times to like 30 times. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, you're never gonna platinum the game.
It's so hard. I don't think I have it in me. I'm bad at games.
Exactly. So you're not gonna.
But you did it, right?
Yeah, I beat it.
Like first try?
No. God no. It took me a lot. So what I had to do was upgrade. Okay. I got the Infinity Gauntlet-esque thing.
I see, I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't seen it. Is this it, one like, of those things in Evaldi's Workshop?
Yeah, I think so. Or you find it. I can't quite remember. I played this game like 5 months ago. But yeah, it's super powerful. It lets you like slow down time and then do like a really powerful move. And yeah, so you just need to really upgrade your equipment so that you can just get the max DPS on her.
I remember I had like some of the best armor in the game. So
yeah.
I don't know. But I know that I didn't quite finish Evaldi's Workshop. Mm-hmm. And so that's like maybe I just don't have all the shit that I need, or maybe I'm just bad at this game. Who knows?
Yeah. It's a really fucking hard fight. And I remember just screaming, like wanting to break my fucking controller in half playing this fight.
Yeah. This game made me feel good at it though. Like I felt like I was like pretty certain that I was like pretty good at it.
Yeah, you get better and better as the game goes on.
And you get all these moves, they're all very useful. It's very cool. I guess I have so much.
We have so much to talk about, but we're already 5 minutes over.
Is there any other story beats we should talk about?
I don't really think so.
One of the other big ones that I'm sorry, I know we're going over time, but I just want to talk about this quickly. Getting the Blades of Chaos was crazy because I was like, what's going on here? He's like, I thought he was going back to Greece. Mm-hmm. I was like, is this guy, are we going back to Greece? What's going on here?
Yeah.
And then you're rowing the boat. Atreus is super sick. I'm like, oh man, this sucks ass. You get back, everything's all red. You get the fuck, you bring out the Blades of Chaos. And
so,
I was like, motherfucker, he still has them? And then you get them or whatever. At the end, you see that he's got like all these scars. And
yeah, from
them. From when he was bound to them. And man, they're just fucking, that was a good scene.
So before you even get him, I remember freaking out because Athena shows up in his boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zeus, he briefly sees in fucking hell or whatever. Too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because, like, in hell, you see your worst nightmare or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Zeus starts appearing in the clouds, and he starts having, like, a panic attack.
You don't really need – that was another big thing. I kept telling people this because, like, people are asking me, like, oh, should I play it? You should. If you haven't played it, you should play it. If you haven't played any of the God of War games, you should play it.
Yeah, I think
you
could definitely play this game without playing the others. Even with these like small cameos, I'm pretty sure he says Zeus and Athena.
Like
he says their names.
Like
and,
twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you have any knowledge of Greek history, you'll know that these
you
people
just
are
need
part
to know
of the pantheon.
That Zeus fucking murdered everyone in Greece.
Yeah.
And that he is the Greek God of War and that's it.
Yeah.
And that now he's a dad and he's got a beard. And he's not a good dad, but he's trying.
He's trying. All right, wrap it up.
Okay. The only other thing I have to say about this game is that it's fucking good and that you should play it and that it's one of my favorite things to talk about, and I really could go on for probably another hour, but Eric
Maybe
won't let
we'll
me.
We'll do part two in the future.
Yeah, a part to God of War part two. When do you think – so here's the only bummer is that this game took a long time to make. I'm sure that people fucking killed themselves trying to make it. You know, lots of crunch and stuff, which is really sad. That should not be a thing that happens. I want to play the next one right now.
You're not getting the next one for at least another
wait,
7 years.
Wait, I do have one more question. Did you go back to the house after the game was over?
Yes, I did get the Thor cutscene.
Yeah, so you see the cutscene. Ragnarok has started.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, Ragnarok has started,
mm-hmm.
and Thor shows up at your house.
Yeah, but to fuck shit up, first fight is Kratos versus Thor. You're going to destroy the Earth. You're going to cause Ragnarok.
Yep. So do you think it's going to be like, do you think they're going to call it God of War Ragnarok?
That'd be a dope name.
That would be a really good
name. I kind of hope they do.
I do hope as well.
Yeah.
But I'm almost certain that I don't know. Do you think this? Because like
I don't think. So I think the third game might be God of War Ragnarok. The second game is Ragnarok is just starting.
Okay, I'm curious. Do you think this is going to be a trilogy?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. And yeah, so I think Ragnarok is just going to be starting, because at the cutscene, it's like, it's happening now.
Yeah, yep, it's happening.
And so it's going to be, maybe you're doing it and Kratos is just trying to get Atreus to like safety, like, or get, because he's already survived one end of the world. Like,
yeah.
He's going to try to maybe get Atreus to safety. All the gods are gunning for him. Like,
yep.
He's killed Odin's son. He's killed Thor's brother. Like, he's killed Odin's other two sons, or Thor's sons.
Yep, Thor's sons, Magni and Modi, also played by Troy Baker and Nolan North. Shout
out. And so the gods are gunning for him now. He's made himself. Yeah, he's made himself a target. So I think that's the second game.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to kill Thor in the second game, and that's going to piss off Odin. And then the third game, you kill Odin.
Okay. So also at the end of the game, you find out that Faye has kind of foreseen all of this happening.
Yeah.
She kind of has, like, she played all of the little yellow things that you see out the game, like, she placed,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool.
Yeah, that was
design.
A cool little
really
side
good
thing.
Game design. So that's kind of interesting that, like, she had foreseen your path. She, like, knew where you guys were going to go or whatever. It's found out, you find out that she was a giant,
mm-hmm.
And that Loki's giant, or, I mean, Atreus' giant name's Loki. So I'm really interested to see where... What Atreus' role specifically and what's going to happens.
Yeah.
There's so much more I want to talk
about.
Okay,
wrap it up.
We're wrapping it up. This game's really good. This has been the Logan Myrie Project, the only podcast hosted by yours truly, also joined by Eric Krause. You can find us on your preferred podcast services, unless that is Spotify, in which case you should just watch us on iTunes or whatever.
Listen.
Just listen to us somewhere else. Maybe we'll be on Spotify one day. Who knows? That'd be cool, right? Also,
cool.
If you know Corey Barlog, or Corey Barlog, if you're listening, come on our show.
You can Skype it, honestly. You don't
no,
have to
yeah,
come
no,
here.
We'll fly you out. I'll fly you out.
You're gonna fly out. I'm a broke ass bitch.
No, yeah, I'll fundraise. I'll kickstart to get Corey Barlog out here. Also, Nolan North and Troy Baker, if you want to come on here too. If any of you know anyone famous, just get
just
them on our podcast.
Know.
Just let us know. This has been the Logan Myrie Project. Thank you all. We love you, unless you suck, in which case we don't.